You're listening to Drake in the Morning
with Danny, Wes, and Sid
on 98.1 The Max. You're listening to Drake in the Morning on 98.1 The Max.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. Went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire.
Hello there, it's Wednesday, March 2nd, 2016, day 62 of this year. It's cold again this morning, about 35 around the area. It was about 20 degrees warmer yesterday, so thanks for that. That's why the cold and flu epidemic continues. I guess that kids are getting sicker all the time, and everybody who still has the some sort of malady that's making them sneeze and just be sick. It's wet, then it's hot, then it's not, then it... Welcome to the Mid-South. Well, it is the day after Super Tuesday. And last night, I don't know even what I saw. It was trying to watch three or four different networks at once. But the message was pretty much the same today in the commercial appeal. The front page headline, front runners gain ground. Today in the national paper, it says Trump-Clinton romp. And there was really not much suspense about this anywhere ever. Just incredible to watch this. And I guess there are still some states that have yet to be discussed this morning. We have no internet to refer to today, so I'm trying to figure out who won Texas, just for starters. I guess, or did that get announced?
That got announced. Yeah. Cruz got Texas.
Yeah,
that got
and Oklahoma. Kind of early, yeah.
And Clinton got Texas for the Democratic side.
Yeah, so this whole thing pretty much, without getting into great detail, because there really is no point. Hillary won all but, well, Bernie won Minnesota, Oklahoma, and Vermont.
You got Colorado, too, apparently.
And Trump won everything. Rubio won Minnesota for some reason that nobody understood. And Ted Cruz got a couple things, Texas and Oklahoma. Beyond that, it was Trump and Clinton dominance on one of the biggest nights of this entire process. The next big, well, there are two more weeks of this. There's Ohio and Florida coming up. That will be important, but the percentages here seem to indicate that this is not over, but the fat lady is about to sing. It just seems to be pointless, especially for Bernie Sanders and for John Kasich to continue, unless somebody this is just too cut and dried, it seems, at this point, as to how America is thinking about this. Around here yesterday, it is a freaking comedy of errors that never stops. The polling places were messed up. They were understaffed. They somehow didn't see this coming. And in places where they usually had about six machines, they had two.
This is the first time I've had a line, but like you said, I don't think they were expecting it because this is the biggest turnout.
Well, everybody else was, except for them.
Two? Yeah.
Everybody else was expecting it. It was no big secret. And I've heard now from several people about what a complete mess this entire thing was. Again, it's just incredible to watch every election, whether it be a primary around here or a city council, a mayor race, it's always screwed up. This guy that's in charge now is the new guy, right? Robert Myers. He's the Shelby County Election Commission chairman. A voter interest, the length of the ballot on the GOP side, and the commission may not have properly anticipated the number of voters at some precincts. Well, that's really, really remarkably incompetent dysfunction, as usual.
Like you said, this was not a surprise. If nothing else, the turnout reported in the states that have voted already should have been a pretty good indicator about what to expect around here.
Yeah.
We had the biggest line at the place that I vote at and that I can remember. When my wife and I got there, there were about 8 people ahead of us, and it took us about 10 minutes maybe to get through the whole thing. They had 3 machines, but by the time 5 o'clock came and went and people started showing up after work, that's when it started building up.
Well, I guess it was this way from the early morning on. I brought in some other machines as the day went by, but that seems kind of sketchy in itself, just to have to, you know, crank it up and program those things in the middle part of the day to catch up with the turnout. I don't understand why this continues to happen, and they can change people at the top and fire people and, point fingers. They screw it up every time. And this is a race for the presidency on Super Tuesday, and it seems like they would have had their act somewhat more together, but it was not to be. So this has come and gone. There was the coverage last night was, I don't know, it was just dizzying. I tried to watch MSNBC, then Fox, then CNN.
I just kept seeing the same thing over and over.
The endless analyzing of things that they have to fill the time with something.
I did like the speeches that the guys gave, though, because now people are getting upset. Rubio was genuinely mad. You can tell that everyone's trying to get each other out of the race. Kasich said Rubio needs to go out. Rubio says, he didn't say anything about Kasich. He said Cruz needs to go out. So now the war starts within the GOP.
No, it's already started. Now it just gets uglier. And this attack mode is not productive for anybody. I didn't see Bernie say anything. Hillary spoke pretty early. In fact, all these speeches were all pretty early. But it's just kind of comic to watch people like Ted Cruz, you know, claim that he is making ground. Dude, you won 2 states. Calm down. Rubio, I don't know. I suppose they all have more money to spend and can continue to do this, but it just seems like it's a desperation time. John Kasich, who many people like but didn't vote for, what's he going to do?
You know what really disappointed me in this whole thing was hearing a couple people say that they liked him best, but they voted for someone else because they thought that the other guy had a better chance of winning.
Yeah, that's, I heard that a lot too yesterday, but yep.
But it's to win. If they don't want Trump in, that's why you have to strategically vote. Oh, it's sad that you can't vote who you want. Yeah.
But there's a real coalition building now on various fronts to blow him up. There are some people that really like him a lot. Hence, you know what he did yesterday. There are also people that are terrified at the thought of him being in charge. There are things today in several newspapers and elsewhere about the folks that want to make him disappear and to somehow get him out of the way. I don't know how you do that unless you do something like murder, which I think is illegal still.
Well, there's a way to do it where if they can vote him not to be the nomination and they can get him
nominee.
Out. Yeah, they can get him out, but if they remove him from as a Republican nominee, then he can become an independent, which will blow everything up anyway.
I just sense that we have not seen the end of any of this. It's only March 2nd. Last night, though, was a good indicator of where the American mindset is. The South, especially, it was thought that Ted Cruz had a pretty good shot in the South because of his evangelical leanings, even if I'm not sure if they're real or not. Trump's certainly aren't. He's suddenly a, you know, super Christian guy, which to me, it's just reeks of incredible phoniness. But it's what he needs to say right now. But he swept the South, as did Hillary. And Ted Cruz and all of his big talking didn't do much, nor did Rubio. So who knows? Around here, some other news that is a bit, I don't know if stunning is the word. I guess that our new mayor, Jim Strickland, has been poring over the budget in preparation for the endless budget battles that he and the council have to have every year. This story, which you should read if you care about this city and its future, you have to wonder what's been going on the past, I don't know, 10 years, 20 years. Yesterday, Jim told the council the city is, he is uncovering things, debts and bills and monies needed that nobody knew about. The city is will have to be spending $60 million over the next 3 years to replace the radio systems used by police, fire, and public works. So things like this and the infrastructures and the basic needs of a city have gone untended to for decades, and now the pigeons are coming home to roost, or the chickens, or both. He found a bunch of other things. They're going to have to spend $30 million to match a federal grant for the Foot Homes area, $25 million for the Matta mess, $15 million on FedEx Forum improvements, and $6 million for police dash and body cameras. So that puts them over budget by about $25 million this year. And $40 million in 2018 and 2019, and this goes on to 2020 and 2021. He says it's going to be very, very hard to keep the budget at the figure that is that was preset at $70 million. So the cluster that is this city government continues, and it's nothing that Jim has done, I don't think. I think it's what other people didn't do. And he wasn't aware of it.
He walked into it.
And now this embarrassing mess is his to deal with. So he has to ask the council to find all this money for, you know, all of these different things. The radio systems by the police, fire, and public works. Matta is a complete, has been allowed to turn into a junk heap. And that has to be fixed. Foot Homes, $30 million to match that federal grant. They can't just pull this money out of thin air. So what do you think is going to happen?
Taxes go up.
There you go. And people can bitch and moan and raise hell all they want to. It's not going to make any difference. This city, and I suppose that nobody is going to panic yet, but this just reeks of really major irresponsibility in past years and past mayors. And I didn't read the this. I mean, just the first four paragraphs here are enough to make you go, what in the world is going on down there?
It sounds so familiar, though, whether
it really does.
Business or government.
So, yeah, there were many discussions yesterday at the council meeting. And I guess maybe our pal Shay Flynn can shed some light on this. This morning, but this is a freaking mess. We're going to also have our buddy from Channel 5, Andrew Douglas, on about 7:30 to get his take on what they have learned about why these polling places were so screwed up yesterday. You try to have this optimism about this place, and then you walk into this shite storm.
And you know they have
every time.
You know they have the ability to do it because they've done it in the past. They've had the polling systems in place. I mean, they've screwed them up.
They always screw it up.
But what I'm saying is, if you walk in to vote and there's only two there, and on a normal election you walk in there and there's six,
I don't get.
Where are the other four? Are they still in storage?
Yeah, there's not any explanation for this whatsoever, except for gross incompetence, bad planning. And this is with this new guy in charge. They ran the other guy off.
Now
this clown is, you know, he may not be a clown, but man, what a freaking mess. There he is, Robert Myers. Hey, Bob, nice job.
But poor Bob, how long ago was that November we voted? Or did we vote in August?
Yeah. It was for the mayor, was back November.
It was November. Okay, so this poor guy hasn't had much time to get things rolling.
Well, but how hard can it be to have the correct number of machines in the churches and fire stations and wherever you vote? It ain't that hard.
No, but if he walked into that, just like Strickland walked into that.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. And beyond, I don't know what else to even say about it. We'll check with our friend Andrew from Channel 5, the morning anchor at the alert desk this morning, and with Shea Flynn, who can... Shea has contended now for how many months that Trump will not be the nominee in this election. We'll see where he stands on that later on this morning. But man, what a trip.
He did not get to Shelby County, so that's why we don't run into many Trump supporters.
Well, because that's, well, there's a reason for that, because it's heavily Democratic, and, you know, there are just some things that aren't going to change. But a new national poll shows that if it were held today, that Hillary would beat Trump 50% to 44%. And so Bernie Sanders had kind of a bad night, too. But I suppose he has no choice but to carry on, and I assume that he will. I don't know if Ben Carson and Kasich are going to be asked to get out of the way so these other three can fight it out and stay in attack mode. But nobody knows.
Based on the percentages that we saw last night, if Kasich and Carson were both out and all of their percentages went to Cruz, Cruz still wouldn't have won in the states that he didn't win already.
No, it's there's a lot left to be. You know, this is only just it's only begun. And
I didn't see the percentages on Christie or Carly. Or
they were so minimal that they're not in the running, but they were on the ballot for some reason. So
I'm assuming because they were on the early voting ballot, and I would think that a ballot cannot change once it's been produced.
Well, they're just in the way, and they need to get them off of there, and maybe they will. I don't know, but that was odd to me. Why all these people who are not in the race were on the ballot still? Why? Just one more unanswered question and one more complication that nobody needs. So we'll get more into this as the morning goes by, or perhaps we'll just stop talking about it. Maybe that would be the best part.
But I will say that I thought what Rubio said about Trump just proved why Trump is doing well when he was going in his, just off about Trump and trying to get Trump out and saying he's ruining the Republican Party.
Oh, yeah, I saw him.
He said... He's not as Christian as he needs to be. He's not.
Says who, Marco?
He's not for Planned Parenthood. And there was one other thing. And all I could think of was because there's not that many crazy rights and there's not that many crazy lefts. Just because you don't agree with all those doesn't mean, I guess technically it means you're not a Republican. But I don't think people
there's
live
nothing
that
wrong
way.
With being a center right or a center left person. You know, moderates are in great need, and they're in short supply. The extremism that is expressed by many, this is the problem with this. But every time Rubio or any of these guys bad rap Trump like this, they may have some folks going, yeah, you're the man, but you're also just you're adding fuel to his fire. He can do no wrong in the eyes of many. Look at the results of yesterday. That's all you have to do. And then see what is yet to come, which is Florida, Ohio, Illinois, California, and things like that still remain. So this may turn around and become more competitive, but I just don't think so. I don't know how they can do it unless there is a move behind the scenes, some black ops kind of deal to make Trump just turn into dust. I don't know what is even possible. George Lopez, the alleged comedian, had a tweet yesterday that showed El Chapo beheading Donald Trump. The caption read, "Make America Great Again." So this talk about polarizing, love or hate. There's no middle ground with Mr. Trump. It's either you love the guy or you think he is dangerous. And get some popcorn and sit back and watch this show for the next how many months?
I don't know. We've done our bit in this state.
A lot. Spring is coming. You might want to move out of your house and get a new one. We have just the guy for you to do that. Michael Mosteller and his wife Nikki are the top REMAX agents in the state, and they connect buyers with sellers, and they get your house on the market You have a little meeting. You discuss this. The price is set. The commissions are set, and they can alter those if you wish. But these guys are the experts around here at selling homes. They beat everybody in the state last year and will do it again this year. And they want your business. They will take care of this from top to bottom. And they do it quickly and don't drag it out forever, as Danny and her husband learned last year or two.
Yeah, they did it top dollar and within a week. And that's spring's going to be
fast.
Yeah, spring's going to be here before you know it. So if you want in on spring, start now. But he does. He sits down, and it's so easy how he does it that you wonder why every agent doesn't do it.
It's a scary process. It can be very intimidating. But he's such a down to earth guy. It's not scary.
At all. He leaves everything in his hands and no contracts, though. So if you want to bail, which you won't want to bail, you can at any time. Call him now, 685-6000. Call him right now and say, Danny told me to wake you up.
It's quarter to seven. He's up. MemphisHouseHunters.com or 685-6000. Let these guys take care of this, getting your home sold. They're the best at what they do. We'll come back and check the sports world. Ain't much happening there. We're in that time. The Tigers have two games left. The Grizzlies have 23 games left, 11 at home, 12 on the road. So their grind continues, and the results of that will be interesting to see as well. We'll be back with that and your emails, and if they work over there.
There, we got some.
Mail at drakeinthemorning.com. Love to hear from you and your comments about the events of last night, which, as I look back on last night, it's just all kind of a blur because nothing gigantic happened.
No.
There was no surprises. I mean, nobody did anything stupid. It was just the usual. It's just like watching a comedy skit. It doesn't ever stop and won't for a while. Back in a moment, here's a band that's playing the Beale Street Music Fest, one of our favorite new tunes from Nathaniel Rateliff. It's called S.O.B.
I call and messing with the kid. You know the kid is no child. And I don't
nice morning. It's clear outside. It's cold. It was cool last night and got colder this morning, about 37. It'll be near 50 for today and similar conditions tomorrow, but more rain comes back tomorrow. Lord, it rained yesterday hard. Nice weekend, though, and 70s for next week. So maybe this is all going to eventually turn into spring and not be eternal winter darkness and death. The time change is a week from this weekend. That's a good thing. And so we roll on into baseball season. There are baseball games on TV today. There was one yesterday. It was nice to see it back today. There's various things on. The Yankees in Detroit from spring training on the MLB Network. Angels and Giants. Cleveland and the Reds are on, and a bunch of college basketball. We're in the last week or so of the season before all the conference tournaments begin, and then it'll be Selection Sunday. And you'll have your field of 64 or 5 or however many it is. It's hard to keep up because they change it every year. The Grizzlies in action this evening. 23 games to go as they fight for a position in the playoffs. Everybody has various opinions. Mark Gasol is hurt. Tony Allen and Mark is done for the year. Tony Allen seems to be kind of up and down. The team has new guys on it. Brendan Wright, the new big guy, is out. He was the backup for Gasol. Jeff Green, Courtney Lee are gone. And so the chemistry has changed and the personnel have changed. The depth, the bench has changed. And so they got some real challenges facing them if they wish to get into the playoffs. 11 home games left. One of those is tonight with the Kings at the Forum, and there are 12 games on the road. So they got some a battle to remain in the mix for the playoff season. Tigers have Temple. That is tomorrow night in Philadelphia, one of their last two games. And then they'll be playing their tournament beginning March 10th in Orlando, Florida. So our best wishes to those fellows. Stories about the Cardinals every day as they are gearing up for their season. And it's good to have all the baseball boys back in town. ESPN reporting that Peyton Manning, just say it ain't so, would like to keep playing. This must be one of the hardest things for these guys to do. Just to walk away when it's time, they just can't get their mind around it.
It's just
Brett Favre was the most recent, glaring example. He just couldn't quit. But he did finally. And now, Peyton, who is a very smart man, who is advised, I'm sure, by his father, who is a very smart man, it's time to go. You're not what you used to be. Hey, we all get old and things, but in this kind of a gig, your body is your livelihood and your job. And so ESPN could be wrong and just trying to create news, as they often do. And this may be way off base, but he wants to keep playing. But finding a team who will pay him that kind of money is the challenge. The Broncos are done, because they would owe him $19 million for another season. So they aren't into that. They have a quarterback that will be ready to go, and Brock Osweiler. And now Peyton has offers to be on the TV as a color analyst, and several NFL teams have front office jobs for him. So he's not going to suffer financially. He will have a job, but to keep playing just doesn't seem to be the right move for him. But we aren't in his head. It's his life and his decision. So hopefully he will talk himself down and retire, as he should, and carry on with his life. Sam Bradford, who has been a bad quarterback for a long time with the Eagles in Philadelphia, they signed him to a 2-year contract because they have no other options. He had a pretty good year this past year, but he's always hurt and just due for, I think he's had both of his shoulders redone and a knee, and he's a mess, but he's their only option. Last year, he was okay last year, but they have nowhere else to go, so they signed him to a 2-year deal. He's guaranteed $26 million, and it's $18 million a year for a guy that blows.
What does a guy that doesn't blow get paid? A
lot more. Or the same. I have no idea.
Speaking of blows.
It's just what a starting quarterback makes.
All I could think of the whole time you were saying Peyton Manning, and this is a terrible comparison, but it just kind of reminds me of like going to the club, and it's like, Danny, you're 30. You got to get out of the clubs. You got to go. But I just want to stay. I just want to stay. It's so much fun.
Uh-huh.
You got to go. And until you realize it yourself, it's like an alcoholic. There's something in people's brains that are addicted to that, whether it's...
It's all he's known since he was a child. His dad's a quarterback. His brother's a quarterback. It's all he's ever known. It must be very hard at 40 years old to realize that those days are behind you. In the past 30 years, you've been doing one thing, and it's hard to stop that. But he has his whole life ahead of him, and he needs his health, I would think, more than anything else. He has plenty of money and pizza and insurance for life. I hope he makes the right move, and just for his own health and safety and for his family's sake, he just walks away from this. Last night, NBA, let's see who played. The Heat beat the Bulls. Portland won. Dallas won. Golden State went to overtime again, but they won. They're just unbelievable. The Lakers won, and the Hornets won. So there's a Grizz tonight, Tigers tomorrow night, and baseball today on the MLB Network. Email address, as long as it works this morning, is mail@drakeinthemorning.com. If you care to chime in about what you saw last night in the election process, knock yourself out. What do you got, Wes?
Several people have. Several people have also informed us that the streaming isn't working
right.
We know.
Everything's shut down. We're just trying to fake our way through this, as usual.
Yeah. Therese wrote in saying, Shay needs to stop saying that Trump won't win. How to decide between two evils is Therese's comment on it. Kelly said the whole Trump is in it to ensure Hillary wins is starting to be a bit more believable.
Yep.
We got one from Ed that says, I predict the establishment Republicans will try to rally behind Ted Cruz as the better of two evils. I think, Ed, you mean lesser of two evils. And every poll done.
I just can't see the guy. He seems to me, as a watcher of this for many years, the guy is just unelectable, it seems. What did he win, 2 states last night?
Yep. So okay. He's won 3 so far.
Okay.
And let's see, we got this from Paul that said, As yesterday's primary results came in favoring Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, the conspiracy theorists were on the radio speculating as to how the old guard of the Republican Party may attempt to sabotage Trump.
Yep.
It's evident that the hierarchy of both parties are very uneasy of a President Trump, and it seems will do anything to keep him from getting elected President of the United States, including nominating a candidate that is unable to defeat Hillary Clinton.
Yep.
One means to do this would be by a brokered convention. In that case, it's almost inevitable that an established candidate would emerge as the nominee. The broker convention, goes on to explain, it's an underhanded but legal way to ensure that the good old guard nominee is their boy by getting enough delegates at the convention to keep Trump on the outside looking in. It's happened before. It could happen again. And as the late George Carlin said, it's a big club and you ain't in it.
Yep. It really is. This was in the paper yesterday. Just as a brief aside, and I have never heard this theory mentioned before. This was an op-ed piece from a gentleman named Edward Ordman from Memphis. It took me a long time, he says, to understand Trump's campaign. I now realize he has a keen understanding of history. When Dick Nixon resigned as president and got a pardon, he was able to avoid paying the very substantial past income taxes he had promised to pay publicly. If Trump has a serious tax problem, being president might enable him to avoid paying taxes and perhaps even avoid any penalties that would stem from the New York lawsuit against Trump University and the fraud charges filed by former students. That story is building more every day, by the way. He might even show a profit after campaign expenses.
All right, so
that's a very interesting concept.
It is very interesting. I like it.
So a Nixon resigned as president, got a pardon from Gerald Ford. Thus, he was able to avoid paying the very substantial past income taxes he had promised to pay publicly. All that went away. If Trump is up to his behind in tax payments, an issue that he refuses to acknowledge he just won't go there. Being president might allow him to avoid paying taxes and perhaps even avoid any penalties from this lawsuit against Trump University, which was, by all accounts, a complete and utter fraud.
In that scenario, I can just imagine the conversation going on. You owe all this. You're getting sued. What are you going to do? I'm going to run for president. Then I won't have to pay
that
the
taxes.
That
shows you how messed up this whole system is.
Yes. You can't do it. I'll bet you a dollar I can.
Well, this entire thing is screwed up. And I don't know if it's always been this way or if we're just all paying more attention because of the strange nature of who's running and just how this whole thing goes. And then you look at this at this area here and how screwed up this entire thing was again yesterday. Every election is a nightmare. Not enough machines, not enough people, understaffed, underprepared. And you wonder how accurate this can be if they're that jacked up, if it's ever right. It is to laugh. What else?
And let's see. Evan agrees with me when I made my comment about the H2 channel being dead to me. He says it is to me, too. I looked like at the replacement channel last night for about 3.5 seconds, and that's all it took. They must have hired high school kids to produce it because it was about as stupid as any reality show.
Mm.
So I'm not the only one outraged about that.
All right.
And Jonathan wrote in on the Overton Park thing. Says, it seems hard to believe that Jim Strickland, after working with Hedgepeth and Conrad for multiple years on the council, would not have known what they were planning on doing regarding the zoo in Overton Park. It also seems there's an attempt to bump the story by calling for the $6 million on the police radio situation. The statement from the mayor's office noted that the Greensward situation was resolved and hopefully we can focus as much attention on crime, etc. The whole thing is shady and disappointing, says John, but not y'all, because y'all rock and stuff. Take her easy.
Right. Yeah, this whole thing does seem to be, it's gone on too long. Build a garage next, but this piece today in the paper about what he has discovered as far as the budget and how much money they need in this town that people haven't been paying attention to, or at least have ignored or covered up issues like police radios and things like that they need $60 million for, along with a litany of other things where money is required and the money isn't there. So the budget process begins in April, and the list of things they have to deal with would choke a pig, as they say. So this was a surprise to him, and you have to wonder if he's starting to go, what the hell did I get myself into?
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, I just don't. It's incredible that these things were pushed aside and not dealt with. And now he had to assume the position, and here's what he's finding, that there is a financial a fiasco is underway at City Hall.
And it's decades, so it's not just Wharton.
No, it's not just Wharton. It was Harrington, and I don't know how far back it goes, but it certainly is not pretty, and there are going to be some shakeups and some angry people around here with taxes going up or whatever the case may be. But this is a mess with MATA and this thing and the endless things, the body cams. What a thankless job. Who the hell would want to be a mayor or a president? God almighty.
Not I.
Work at Walmart. It's a lot less challenging. If you have issues with your money or questions about your future, you know, age notwithstanding, you can get with our friends at Red Door Wealth Management and get some advice. These guys are, they're very down to earth. This whole thing can be very intimidating. And you can find some people that are big names in this business that do not pay any attention to you whatsoever. And that's disheartening and discouraging. But these guys, Fred and John and Gretchen and Daniel, are, I've dealt with them now for several years. They've been nothing but attentive and helpful, very down to earth. They consult you on what to do, what not to do, and they help you build some savings for your retirement or just for your life and just your peace of mind to have some money. If you're 20 or if you're 50, you can always start this and start saving some money for your future. They have 401k plans and plans for individuals and families and small businesses. And this comes in very, very handy, knowing that your money is in the hands of somebody that knows what they're doing, and they talk to you about it in ways that you can understand. It's not some money jargon that you have no idea what they're saying. You can get a free meeting and discuss what you might want to do, and they will talk to you and discuss all these issues: death, divorce, inheritance, what to do with your dough for the future that is at hand. So call him and speak to Fred Hyatt. He's at 681-0018. Fred's email is fred@reddoorwealth.com. If you have any questions about this, I would call these guys. They're different than most people in this business. Down to earth and open and candid, and that's what you want. Red Door, thank you, guys. Thank you, Fred and John and Gretchen and Daniel. We'll do a break. We'll try and find some dumbasses and see how that works out. And we'll talk to Andrew Dice Douglas from Channel 5 from the Alert Desk. And then Shay Flynn about 8. All that coming up.
Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain. Chain, chain, chain.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.